I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
I think it's a brazy thing to say, bro.
You don't get rejected, do you?
No.
You moved to 10 women on one night, yeah?
If I did, hypothetically, yeah.
You moved to 10 women one night. How many of them do you reckon would say no?
If I did?
Seven, for me.
Would say no. This guy's dumb. You turn it into a business conversation, that's why.
No, hold on.
I'm going to turn it into a transaction.
How much lighting is there?
How much lighting, dude?
I think we went light ease.
No, lighting.
Oh, bro.
How much lighting is there?
The dark room.
Can they see me?
I did 7 out of... I think I'd have like a 7 or 6 out of 10 success rate.
Seriously? Yeah. How many do you think you would have?
It depends who I'm talking to. I don't move to you, babies. I don't know.
I'm just saying, 10 women.
Yeah. I'll give myself 3.
Okay. You already know your answer.
What's his answer?
Well, like, seriously.
If he was like, oh, not...
You've
not,
seen me
not,
like that live. Like, I'll be real. If you give me at least 4 minutes of convo,
Batman,
I'll leave out there with a. I think out of 10 girls, yeah, out of 10 girls, 6.5.
That's not bad.
Okay.
When I was 14, and I was on like a Facebook, like on a Facebook run. Do you know when like you get like your wait? One second. Let me land.
In Ireland, you know.
Let me land. Do you remember when like you would get like an hour of computer time per, you know, sibling and that? You get me? Yeah. So boom.
Yeah.
I was on it. Yeah. Just I was like DMing girls from different schools. Like, oh, yo man, you're paying. Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, so yeah, we're flirting. There was this one girl I always liked. I was like, she's so sexy. Yeah. From Barnhill School. Come on.
But still, I wasn't even born when you were 14.
Crazy. And then.
Something actually wrong with you.
That's crazy.
There will never be a podcast we have where money doesn't reference the year you were born.
Yep.
Yeah.
Facts.
Wait.
Listen, yeah.
Excuse me.
Man's on a roll right now. All these girls are loving me. Da da da. Whatever. It's for the last 10 minutes of my, you know, time. Boom. I DM this girl. Lang. I DM her. And I say, hey babes. Do you know what she said to me? And I have a screenshot as well, till this day. She goes to me, how dare you message me, you Somali alien bastard.
Whoa.
That's not even funny.
And I looked at the message, I was like, all right, man.
That's a bit extreme, isn't it?
Is that why you started 14 HQ? Because it happened when you were 14?
Nah.
The Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original.
I deleted Facebook. I'm like, that day, I left immediately. I was like, yeah, safe, I'm done.
Let's crack on with the...
Sorry, guys, it's the first one. How dare you mess with me? It's already...
It's like, she's too long for me.
How long was she?
Huh?
Oh, she doesn't matter.
No.
Like, yo, now she's dusty, though, so...
It happens, though.
Fuck you, Sarah.
That's an entire 10 minutes just wasted. You might as well save that for some, I don't know, some B-roll or some shit. I don't know.
That was actually quite funny.
We got a lot of things to bleep out.
Yeah, so much.
It's just not standing.
Yeah.
It's just not.
But if we can, man, just beep out one name.
Yeah, just bleep out my name. Just bleep out my name. Beep, beep. It'd be jokes.
Fuck it, yeah.
Have I got any stories for you guys?
Ooh.
I don't think I do, unfortunately. That was quite.
Any lesbianist kisses in Paris?
Proper what?
Did you lips in Paris?
No, I didn't lips in Paris at all.
That's boring.
How can you not kiss in Paris?
What's the point of going to Paris?
Do you know what, guys?
For work.
Yeah, and also, like, I think other people's mood is kind of like a bit... like,
the weather.
Yeah. And I didn't really move around that much.
I think rain is romantic.
I think it's perfect. I really like the rain.
How many times have you been in Paris?
Like 5.
Out of 5 times, how many times have you lipsed?
Like 4.
Okay,
so actually, no, like 3, because the first time I went, I was like a child.
Okay,
oh my gosh, guys, you know I danced in the parade?
When you were a child?
Oh my gosh, you guys know this? You guys know that my life story? I used to dance.
I used to do bad drama-ish stuff. Yeah. What, you played the, don't tell me, cello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
And piano?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played the cello as well.
Yeah, that's the cello. Yeah, I danced. I used to like break dance and stuff. and I opened the parade.
What did you point? Show me.
Shut up and dance.
Yeah, I used to break dance, and that's why I went to Disneyland.
Come on, do this.
I call like you break dance is
That's what I'm saying.
I can do the baby freeze and you put your face on the floor and like legs in there.
Would you ever do it when you're too drunk?
Guys, I've done it sober.
Okay, I'll see that. Sorry, guys, go on.
Cool. Yeah, so.
Interesting.
Obviously, when I got diagnosed with ADHD, I think my mum realised that you just got to put a foot everything.
You have ADHD?
You're a piece of shit. Do you know when I told him the first time I got ADHD, he was like, have you tested for autism yet?
yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm actually being serious.
That's crazy.
That's
what made me laugh.
Yeah, that ticks one off.
That's crazy.
I actually remember that.
Oh, man. What a podcast, man. Anyways, over to you.
Oh, yeah. No. That was a good little summary of our summers, I guess, you know? Yeah, man. Glad you guys had a good time. It's really annoying that my birthday comes at the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't like that.
What are we doing for it?
Nothing, man. Don't celebrate.
Oh, you want
to go? Eat, bro.
We'll do something.
The third.
It's actually tomorrow. Second.
Second. Yeah. Bro. Miriam is the third.
Can we go out tonight?
I'm supposed to be dead benched, apparently.
Okay. Hey, what are we
not going John's?
No one said nothing.
What do you mean? We said yeah.
You have to lock things in, bro.
Oh, we're going John's.
What time though? It's, anyway, we'll talk after.
Okay, no, but can we tomorrow evening? What's everyone doing?
Well, we've got Beetlejuice Tuesday, innit? So
okay, Tuesday, yeah. Beetlejuice.
Are you rolling? Are you in Southampton?
I might be. I'm gonna have to see.
Confirm, because I still got one left.
Put me down. I'll find a way.
Yeah, cool.
Put me down.
I got you. It's there. It's done.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So after we'll go out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Can we pod now, please? I feel uncomfortable.
No, yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah,
I'll even try to get us £100 birthday budget from 14HQ.
Okay. Make it 200 so you can have my birthday into there as well.
Well, I was actually including birthday.
He said the 50-50. He said it's 50-50 split.
Make it 200.
Hold up for 1 year.
Have my birthday into there as well.
Guys, it's been a while since we've been in the studio, though. We did record a few weeks ago, but you wasn't here.
I haven't recorded since before the live show, bro.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this is your opportunity, then. Because I think you were the brains behind the live show. So, before we get into the podcast itself, and yes, we are a post-credit scene podcast, 14HQ Original Lovers of Film, TV, Fears, shout out to Manny, Basola, and Huss. Share your thoughts on the live show and what that meant to you, because I know you haven't really had the opportunity to do so yet.
What a time, man. It was so beautiful. Honestly, it was so sick. Like, when I look back at the photos and the vids and stuff, okay, and you clock, because I don't know if you guys saw, but there's like three photos where like, the crowd is so huge. This is actually so sick. And it's impressive, and even there's brands and stuff that emailed us afterwards, like, oh, we should have got involved, and da da da. I'm like, bro, dickheads, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm proud of all of us as well, kind of like holding it down. Also, I'm proud that we put on the show. I think that's the proudest thing about it, just because my whole thing and our whole thing prior, you guys don't know this, but we had a few meetings where we sat down and we spoke about the structure of the show, and we wanted to give people reasons to stay, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like we timed everything, or we done everything in such a good order that everybody was entertained. Like Morgan coming in was such a nice touch. Do you know what I'm saying? Like people were just like, oh my god, woo! It was sick. And then doing like the games like right after that was so perfect, and the crowd got involved and
inside.
Inception. That's a read. Honestly, that's my favorite clip.
That's a fantastic clip.
Egregious, though.
Yeah, horrible from them.
Even I could have guessed that. You know, I'm so bad at those games.
Yeah. And then obviously, even having people like Hope there as well.
Hope,
Ayame was an incredible host. Killed that for us as well.
So
fucking funny.
Is it lies?
Recount. And then everyone, our friends, our family, and everybody from Cuba as well. So yeah,
other creators turned up as well. Shout out to Small Time.
Other creators backed it. Super, super sweet. Hopefully we can run another one before the end of the year.
I would like to do one every December.
One every when?
December.
I think that's when we're gonna line up for the next one. We have to bleep this part out. Hopefully with LaShawn Lynch. Let's go, baby.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I literally love her so much.
They literally pre-asked us to do it.
Oh, damn.
Because they tried doing it for this one. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, her film is actually coming out in December. So what are you saying then? And then
that's gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
We can do it here.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think so.
Yeah, but we should do it somewhere else.
I think we should do it somewhere else. I think we should do it at an actual cinema. I think that'd be fucking crazy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ritzy. No, can we do it at Picture House, close to my house?
The girl that I'm seeing.
Is it close to your house?
Which one's that?
Dulwich.
You still be late.
Oh, the girl. That was so good. The girl I'm seeing, she is.
Oh, you see someone?
A general manager at a Picture House.
Hello, you're dumb.
You're ridiculous. That was actually genuine. Like, oh, you see someone?
You don't mean that.
You met Yaz, man. Yeah,
look, it's so funny. Yeah. Every time that happens, everyone does the slow look to the door.
It still is.
I feel like I met her. She was here the last time, yeah.
She said that she was really upset because I introduced her to everybody except from you. And she was like, she really wanted to meet you because she just loves your look and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. I did meet her though. Yeah. At the end, I introduced myself.
Yeah, I know. She was very upset at me.
Yeah, good. Mannerless.
She got asshole. But yeah, it was a great time and thank you everybody for being there and yeah. Hopefully we can do that at least 3 times a year. Man. And by the way,
3 times?
3 times are crazy, bro. I ain't got me.
Two, a summer and an end of year one.
Nigga, let's
yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
A summer and an end of year one makes sense.
Also, just the progression in season 3 is nuts, bro. I think we're on episode this will be episode 21.
Guys, I changed you niggas
life. We done 26 episodes last year. We're on episode 20 now. So we're going to end it hopefully by 30, which is really, really good. So, yeah, man.
30? Bro.
What more?
So we're in September, bro.
Just ignore him. That part, we all ignore that part.
There's
more time.
Anyways, I'm actually being expert. I didn't need to point it out. It's fine. I was being a dickhead. Naturally. The Post Quarantine Podcast, right?
Yes.
Guys, we're here to talk about what we've been watching over the last couple of weeks? Months?
Mate, it's been a month now, man.
2 months? I don't know. We had the episode recently with NK, which we rounded up with the sort of House of the Dragon season 2. Mm-hmm. Mixed reviews. We don't need to talk about that today. We've already done that. And I think it was a good podcast as well. He was great.
Yeah. I really like him.
He's really, really insightful. Really well spoken as well. So shout out to NK.
He's dope, man.
Shout out to his platform as well. It's a really, really good platform. So shout out to him.
I like their thumbnails.
Oh, okay.
They're really nice.
Yeah. NK, he likes your thumbnail.
The Rare Podcast.
The Rare Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
Dope guys.
We'll start with you, Hus, because you missed the last episode. You're getting a lot of screen time.
I'm feeling spicy, man. I can't lie.
You can earn your social card. Yeah, you look decent today.
I haven't got a gym for the past 3.5 weeks, man.
God. What's it like underneath though?
Underneath there.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. It's just because I got like trim like, twice a week for like 2-3 weeks. No, like Japan, I got one the day before I left, and then I got one when I landed. I got one before my birthday, even after my birthday, and then I got one for Reading and Leeds, and then I was just like, bro, allow it, man. And I just stopped because I just need my head to breathe.
Hairline John's, right? You don't want to fight off the hairline.
Yeah, man, exactly. Yeah, so it. Now tough, I'm man. Not getting trimmed for a while, man, until there's a reason.
I hear you. There's always turkey.
Nah. I'm good.
Fuck that shit, man. Your
hairline is a week, though.
No, it's cotton. Good, man. Yeah.
Okay. So,
I wasn't shouting off, you dickhead. No. Do you want to tell us what you've been watching, maybe?
Sure. So, to be fair, I have been on a
binge, you told us.
Cinema binge, fam. I have watched Alien Romulus, Blink Twice, Trap, It Ends of Us, Twisters.
Fucking
other stuff.
You want to start with one of them, maybe?
I'm trying to think of which one.
Which one you want to kick off the podcast with?
Have you guys watched Blink Twice?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what
you guys have watched it?
I wanted to watch it yesterday, but I wasn't showing the cinema near mine.
Oh my gosh, guys. It's only been out a week.
Guys, Odie and Sarah Keys is officially gone.
Yeah. Oh. We'll talk about that when Hus gets through.
Sorry, that's honestly. Right,
he basically told you to shut up.
Yeah. No.
I know he's been dumb.
Sure. Come on.
It's what you do. It's not like it, do you? Prick.
I would never do that to you.
Ben, should we talk about Blink Twice first?
Yeah, because someone spoiled it for me anyway. I was never going to watch it.
You
really spoiled?
I haven't seen it.
It's not scary.
No, it is.
It's not scary.
Oh, yo, guys.
Actually, you know what? Guys, go to the cinema.
Add
the context of the fact that I think from a man's perspective, I can see why I wouldn't find it scary, not to patronise you, because of the topic and the theme of the film.
There's an R word in there.
I can see why that film would be scary.
That's terrifying. I'm not watching that.
I can see why that would be scary. So we were coming from like a male gaze and a male perspective.
You see, my perspective on that film, I thought it was a really good film. First of all, Zoe Kravitz. Shout out to you.
Do you want
to
give the premise of the film?
As a director, yeah. So the premise of the film is that there is a billionaire and there's a group of people that he takes over to his island, where he kind of basically treats them to this like all-inclusive trip where it's like an ongoing trip and no one really, and like nobody really knows when it's going to end. Whereas this billionaire is just obviously abusing his power to abuse these people. And then as time goes on, you find out who's getting abused and why. Right.
Just to add some context as well, he had previously been in a scandal. So I think the premise of the idea of the film is sort of men in power people in power who end up in scandals, try to rebrand using sort of PR and so on. That was the start of the film, with sort of trying to change his image, saying I'm sort of reborn, I'm going to this island to sort of change my ways and then come back a new person, if you like. And that was like sort of the...
But if anything, all he was doing was he was actually just like confining his abuse and his problem instead of doing it spread out to the world, you know. But yeah, so Zoe Kravitz done a fantastic job. She's there was a few cringy directorial things that she was doing, like right at the start with like the animals and that, like zooming in for no reason. Oh, that means something. Okay, chill. But other than that, it looked fantastic. Like, it looked so beautiful. The cast that she picked was fantastic. I feel like there was a group of girls and there was a group of girls for me out.
They were brilliant. They played their roles superbly. Yeah.
They were freaking fantastic. Like, they were funny. They were like frightened when they were frightened. They were strong when they were strong. Like, it was really, really good. Love them. And then just like the saying was that for me, the disappointment about that film was the ending. As you said, no spoilers, okay, but you know, the R word is in there at some point. The reasoning for the R word was just not good enough for me, you know. And it was like...
I disagree now that I've thought about
the film, you know? Bro, it's just not... I'm sorry, man.
The reasoning...
Why did you get... Go on.
Bro, do you know when in a film, someone does something so bad, right, and it's heinous, and then the villain, per se, will have his moment to explain why this bad thing has just happened. I'm doing this. Like, he explains his whole plan, right? And it's like, it just wasn't good enough. It was like... You're a billionaire. You're trying to take him. Look how lame.
That's the point.
And you're also missing another part of it. He was a victim of the same thing. So
we weren't shown or told that. It was alluded to in the slightest.
But the thing is, I don't think you ever need a justification for that. I think it's done because it's done. You don't need... There's never a reason where you have to like explain why they're about to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing, the reason it happens is because it happens. There's never like a real valid reason.
No, you're absolutely right. Then don't make it into an entertaining film.
I don't think that was the point of it. From what I've heard about it and what I then went to go read after, because I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. I was like, is there... I was just thinking, the whole premise of it is abuse of power.
Correct.
The whole thing is abuse of power. So I don't think you need to ever explain actions, because that is what abuse of power is. It's because you have power and therefore can abuse.
But his explanation wasn't his abuse of power. It was his relationship with his sister that they didn't talk. And it's like, so?
What he believes in himself as the character and how it's written. But then the character's like a real person in that, yeah? Whatever that person that's like a serial abuser is doing, the justification will never ever be valid.
They'll find their way to justify it.
They're justifying it for themselves,
right.
Not for everyone else.
You're absolutely
right. I think that's why it was written in that way. It's more realistic, if anything. I think even if he said, yeah, like my dog died, I think that's enough of a justification for him to then go and abuse.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it was actually like, I think it was casted really well.
But then, no, sorry, not as in written well.
It was written really well.
So like, I agree with you to an extent, but to another extent, I just watched something heinous, and if I'm going to be justified for that, justified in the realms of entertainment, okay, then give me an entertaining response. Give me a dramatic reasoning as to why this happened. Your dad's R word, or I don't know.
But don't you think that takes away the point of looking into men in power being abusive when you're trying to find reason to sympathize for...
Somebody said this to me yesterday as well. The same thing. Literally said the same thing to me. Like, yo, why are you looking for a reason for them to... So sorry, for the audience to sympathize. I was like, no. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I am just looking for a reason to be like, it's like another reason to be like, that doesn't matter. You still shouldn't do that.
But the thing is, the fact is that you're looking for that is the problem in itself. We don't need to look for that. I think that's like her whole point, is like, you don't need to go and do all that added stuff. The reason could basically...
It could literally be anything.
It literally needs to be a single thing. Abuse of power is abuse of power. And because they have that power, they can abuse. And that's it. I mean, that's enough of a reason. To be honest, you don't even need to hear them explain themselves.
I think it makes more sense if the reason is more ridiculous than it is. Because it showcases that it doesn't matter what the reason is. What matters is that he has the ability to do this. He has the power to do this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what he does. It's just because he can. And that's the reason he does it. The reason why he does it is really irrelevant to him doing it.
Yeah.
So I think it being more ridiculous makes more sense.
But within the context of the film, they did, as Huss said, he said they alluded. I think it was quite obvious that he was also a victim of SA. Whether we lack that as a reasoning for his actions or not, is
I always
question.
Hate when that's written, you know.
But it wasn't it wasn't in your face.
That's my least favorite trope when it comes to basically. Yeah, the main reason I'm not watching it is that I told myself, like, going forward, I'm not watching any movies that I really don't think I don't like. Certain themes. I'm not watching like slave movies and stuff. Yeah. I'm not doing it. And I'm not watching movies that the whole premise is R word or there is R word scenes or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this film is
But I think even when I was like, when someone spoiled it for me, he was like, yeah, by the way.
How did they spoil it for you? That's so wild.
Have you watched it? And I was like, no, I'm not going to. He's like, can I spoil it for you? I was like, yeah, sure.
Can I?
And I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, I want to know what you think about it. Then I went to like on a little deep dive and I was like, yeah, if there is one Arbor scene, I'm not watching it.
Okay, fair.
I'm not doing it. We don't need it. We really don't.
By the way, after what you guys have said, and guys, I agree now. I think what you guys said makes a lot more sense than what I thought. So that's thank you for that.
I think I said afterwards, there are certain films where it's hard to call it a good film when you're watching something that delves into like pertinent themes, right?
Yeah.
If I compartmentalize the themes with, which is a tough thing to do, but if I compartmentalize the themes with the actual film itself, it's a very well-made film from a sort of directorial perspective in terms of cinematography. I think it's well-written for the most part. So I think it's got some very, very good acting performances. Naomi Aki, she played Frida in the film The Cocktail Waitress. She's superb, bro. Like, she's so good. Channing Tatum was probably one of the best acting performances I've seen from him. Like, he really... And I know I saw an interview where he said he felt kind of uncomfortable having to dive into the role of being that person.
Yeah.
But in terms of doing that, he was incredible. Like, he was so, so good. You know, that balancing act of somebody that's like very charming, charismatic, but also has this sort of threatening feel throughout. And it's just borderline between...
He looks so leg in the film as well.
He did. He's a good looking chap, of course, yes.
He did, man. His beard was fire.
He's a good looking chap for sure.
Honestly, he looks so good.
But I think he was...
I'm kicking your ass.
Yeah, I think he was incredible, man. I think what the film did very well was...
Oh, my days. That girl. Who's the girl?
Azriel Arjona.
Oh, she looked...
She's a good
girl. Like, that's good milk.
She's in Hitman.
Bro, there's one scene. She came out of the pool.
Oh.
All booty.
Yeah, she was in Hitman.
It was crazy. The whole scene was like this. I heard guys do it.
Sorry, not to go... It's got a topic. But Channing Tatum and Glenn Powell, can you see them becoming the next, like, male stars within Hollywood?
Well, Channing, I think Channing's just already, like, one of the more solidified. Yeah, he's already solidified.
A-list.
Yeah, he's...
He's A-list, really.
I think he's an A-list, but I don't think he's taken seriously. I think he is.
I agree. I
think he's, like, this is, like, him fully coming out of his, like, wigger phase and, like, actually being, like, taken seriously as an actor.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree.
No.
I think this is his best and most sort of serious role.
I'm really interested to see what he does next.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Adria Joyner, she was, aside from her aesthetics, like...
And she was arguably she's a very the good third woman. Best person.
She was really, really good in the film. Like, the chemistry with her and Naomi Aki
was so good.
Because they go from, like... There's this like rivalry to like, we're here to help each other out because we're all stuck in the same situation. I think the film did very well to like build tension slowly. So it was slowly paced in the sense of, it wasn't boring slowly paced. It was like building up the anticipation of what's going to happen. And then when you get to the third act, the horror and the sort of thriller aspects really come to the fore. So I think the film was like very well made in that part. The cinematography is gorgeous.
Oh, it's honestly shot. It's shot film. Really, really beautifully.
I think it's one of my... It's one of the better films that I've seen this year, for sure.
You can say it's your favourite film.
It's a tough... No, I find it tough to say just because of the themes. And
I gave it a 6.3.
I've got it much higher than that.
You gave it the same, though.
I've got higher since.
So, go on.
I've got it like a 7.5, maybe.
I might watch it on Angel Vid. Have you guys heard of Angel Vid?
Sounds like a dodgy site.
Yeah. No.
It comes out on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's wavy.
It comes out. Oh, does it?
Yeah. The Mormon girls be watching it.
Last thing I'll say about the film, we might want to move on, is it has elements of like loads of different films. So like The Menu, which is on Disney Plus, it's got The White Lotus, it's got like Saltburn feel, it's got like Knives Out, the Daniel Craig film Knives Out. Yeah. It's got all of those elements into one. So, and I saw somebody saying, make an interesting point, that they thought that this was a copycat of Jordan Peele. It was like some guy that also reviews films and TV shows. And I was like, the topics are different, like from Get Out, for example. It's a completely different topic, like the theme.
Just because being trapped somewhere isn't only Jordan Peele that's done that.
Yeah. It's just taking inspiration.
It's such a genre in itself.
It's just it's just taking inspiration from someone else's great work.
I don't even think it's taking inspiration. I just think it is just a genre of film.
But because you can see the elements of Get Out in it, that's where I would say it's sort of, you can see the inspiration. But it's a good film, and I can understand why you feel.
And to be fair, Get Out was one of the biggest films in recent years. It's got,
who wouldn't take
any film that's going to come out that's in the same angle will most likely take elements or influence from Get Out, because in recent years it's been the best in its genre.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Also, just to make you feel a bit, the scene is
it's cut
1.6 seconds.
Yeah, she doesn't put it in our faces like that. It's like
it's
the sharpest cuts that you
would
get.
It's so quick. It's like boom, and then you go, oh crap, that was crazy.
And I actually didn't see that coming.
Same. It came out of nowhere. I was like, oh crap.
But in a way that it made sense for the story.
Yeah. So it's pretty much like boom. And then,
but you don't actually see anything per se.
You don't see anything.
You know.
But do they allude to it enough that I'm just like, I know it's happening, but I don't actually.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't ever see anything. It's just
that makes me feel better then.
Yeah, it's just more. You know what I mean? And I think Zoe did that very much.
It was a very well edited film as well, just to add.
Edited fantastic.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I might watch it now. I think also, are we less scared because I know what's happening?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. You can just appreciate it for like the more technical aspect of the story.
Do you think it's good if we can go on to, because we're on the topic, It Ends of Us?
I haven't seen it, so go ahead.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, go
ahead. I've got the controversy about it.
Yeah, I've seen
I've
it.
I've got opinions on it.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Naturally.
I've seen it, and I unfortunately went into it with everyone's opinions, right? With the press opinions about how Blake Lively was avoiding the talk of SA, and she was calling it a thing. And so I went into it kind of like being like, okay, cool, we'll see what happens here. And I watched it with Morgan from here, from Cube. Shout out to Morgan. And we went into it kind of, we'll see. I swear to God, guys, it was such a good film.
Why so?
And
oh, no, it's all good.
No. Blake Lively was brilliant. They had the whole parallel timeline thing happening, right? So when it's like her younger self. The girl that played her younger self, arguably the best casted younger version of a character I've ever seen.
That can go so wrong
in my life.
Yeah,
this person had the same voice as her, same mannerisms, same even the way she kissed the guy was the exact same thing. I don't know if they shot one scene first and said, "Yo, copy me." It was crazy. Like she was so good. Mm-hmm. Like the younger version of her really made you believe everything that was happening in the future. But it's definitely a rom-com drama, because for a lot of it, you fall in love with this couple.
That's the point of, have you read the book?
Yeah, no. I've read After Order thingy. I've read the blurbed chapters where they like just like summarize.
Condense it all.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like you fall in love with them and you fall in love with this guy, which I guess is why is what happens in those like you're like literally blinded, you know. And the way that it was shot and the way that it was done, they make you blind to any abuse, anything, until she realizes, and then the audience they start to realize. And I love that. And like I love the fact that we were kind of on the journey, and then everybody, man, whatever, woman, we all experienced it in that cinema. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know it's a really tough watch and that kind of stuff, okay, But to give you guys obviously the short premise here is just that there's a couple when she's younger who is like a like high school like sweetheart, and there's a guy that she meets obviously later on in life after her father passes away. She has a trauma of her father beating her mother and that kind of stuff, and then her father passes away at the start of the film, and then they go on to the film, and then she meets her future husband. And then that relationship is in tandem with the high school sweetheart coming back into her life. And yeah, so they deal with that. But the casting was absolutely incredible. I forgot what the guy's called, the guy that plays her husband. He's in quite a few films actually, but he was really good. The relationship with her mother was so intense.
Do they have chemistry on screen?
So much chemistry.
Because they look like they hate each other in real life.
Is it Justin Baldoni?
Yes.
Okay.
Biss, I promise you now, yeah, there's two scenes where I cried. Two scenes. There was one scene where, because she's best friends with her husband's sister. Best friends of her. Mm. Like besties. When she tells the sister about the abuse and everything, the reaction from the sister made me cry. Like, it was so deep. Like, it was just breathtaking. And then at the end, something happens at the end where she kind of takes control of the situation. And it was so emotional as well. And I just think, like, that whole story was the worst case scenario of somebody being in that situation mixed with the best case scenario, you know, of that situation. And for a man, and I could only experience it from my side here, yeah, it was eye-opening. Because I know it happens. Like, I'm not stupid, innit? Okay, like, I'm scared to have a daughter. I'm my little sister, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like, cool. But we're never going to experience it like how, saying you guys, God forbid, hopefully never do. But if you do, like, we're never going to experience it like that with that fear and stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? So to get, like, an insight of that and to understand it better and then to be able to hopefully deal with it better in our lives, I think that film gave me that understanding a little bit more.
Why do you think critics haven't resonated with the film?
Like, I think because she avoided the topic.
The press.
I think she avoided the topic.
She did a really bad... Like, this is the first time that a press run has made me not want to watch a film.
Mm. Yeah.
No, genuinely, look, I don't think I'm planning on watching it. If it comes out on streaming, maybe, if I've got a couple like hours spare, why not?
It's a lot more clear than Blink Twice, by the way.
But my problem is, yeah, with the way they've gone about this press issue is that obviously when they obviously tried to make it like a Barbie Hammer situation, yeah? Mm-hmm. But what people forget with Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Obviously Ryan Reynolds is her husband. And
quick question on that though, wasn't that sort of a response to the fact that there was a clear issue between the director and Blake Lively? So then they had to try and find another way to PR this film because of the fact the director and her have an issue.
But their issue was so minute, but it kind of stemmed from that. Like, so Ryan Reynolds has like a writing credit on Ends of Us. But it's just like, it's the smallest writing credit. But they've tried to like, obviously she's a producer on the film as well. And she wanted a lot of input. And I think she was just being a bit difficult. I hate to call him difficult, but that was like general time for the way she was behaving on set and whatnot. So the issue wasn't even minute, but it just got blown up even bigger after the press run and her kind of steering away from how dark some of the themes are in the movie.
It's really dark.
But this is the point, is that you're trying to sell us a Barbieheimer. Don't get me wrong, Oppenheimer is also kind of dark, but it came naturally. Mm. Do you know what I mean? People call like Barbieheimer thing came naturally. It's just, it's the audience's reaction to these two movies. Stop trying to sell us, like, people were calling it the white man's Tyler Perry. Stop trying to sell us this like dark movie with Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, why is Ryan Reynolds doing press for this movie? It makes no sense. It actually makes no sense.
Yes, insanity.
And then when people are asking you, like,
excuse me,
I think an interviewer asked a really important question. It was like, obviously people already feel attached to like celebrities and whatnot, and then even more so someone that's portraying maybe potentially their real life. How is it going to be when you're outside and people were like, actually just want to talk to you about things like this? Her response was garbage, guys. It was so bad.
What'd she say?
She was just like, she was being super sarcastic, and she was like, well, you know how I am. I want to know all your information. Tell me everything. And like being really like blasé about it. And the interviewer's like nervously laughing. And her co-star, what's his name again?
Oh.
Josh something.
Justin Baldoni.
Yeah. He sat next to her and was just like fuming. He also asked someone on set, like, how much does she weigh? Did you guys see this?
No.
So she said that he was made her feel uncomfortable. But he asked how much she weighed because there's a scene in there where he has to lift her up. But he's had a really bad back, like, quite openly as well, like, really, like a couple of surgeries and whatnot. But he just wants to ask his trainer, can he lift that, like, exact weight? Like, all it's going to, like, fuck him up again. She was like, how dare you ask a woman her weight? It's quite, like, insensitive, makes you feel uncomfortable on set, knowing that the next day we're going to have to be on set together. Like, why would you do that? He was like, because I just don't really want to die.
Yeah, with the context that...
Do you know what I mean? But, like... That's kind of crazy. But to be like, to tell the world first, like, you were made to feel uncomfortable because someone's asking about your weight without any context, it's crazy because it paints him as if, like, he's horrible. Also, him being sat next to her the whole time and being the only one that's, like, ready to talk about, like, how disgusting and dark, like, his character truly is, and her, like, being like, oh, flowers and ponies. Like, she's actually, I think she's trying to play into, like, this dumb blonde thing. I don't really understand why. Because people were coming out and being like, yeah, this movie was actually really good.
I think she done so much. I think I saw somebody, I think it's somebody that we follow, but he was like, it just seems like she was doing Deadpool press all of last year.
Yeah.
And just never came out of it. Because she went to every interview being Ryan's husband. A wife. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So she the first half an hour is just about Deadpool, him. How's it being his free wife? Da, 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 da. And it's just joke after joke after joke. Even there was an interview on like Capital Extra or Kiss, I think, where they give her like a gift that Ryan got her like 6 months ago. And she's like, oh my God, this is so cute. Da, 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 da. Like everything was based around him. You know what I mean? And then she becomes this like character because he's funny. So she's got to be, you know, funny. But she should have just switched on and been like, yo, this film could actually, it like, positively impact a lot of people. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was such a serious topic. So I don't see how you come out of that film, go on a press run, and not be able to take it seriously. That just confuses.
Tell the girls to get their florals, get your florals on, and go and watch it as if it's like a date out.
Yeah.
Hey babes, go and get your florals on. Let's go watch
a film about relationship abuse.
Yo, that's like, what's not clicking? Honestly, with him sat next to her, I think he came off the press run really early after being like, yo, she's not taking this seriously. Like, what the hell?
If I could recommend, honestly, guys,
I told you, I've got a couple hours spare. When it hits Netflix, I'll give it a watch.
Biss, I actually think everyone here is, you'd love it.
Biss, over to you. Let's stay on films for now, seeing as we've done two films already. Is there any films that you've...
Films.
Even if it's like sat at home that you watched.
I don't think I've been watching film. I've been watching a lot of TV.
We'll come back to you then. We'll come back to TV. Manny, have you got any films that you want to dive into?
I watched a film recently, but it's not a recent film.
Is it what I saw on your story?
Parasite.
Go off. Great
film. I haven't watched it yet.
It's a great
film.
Jesus Christ. What a film. What a film that is. I won't spoil it.
Okay, good.
But essentially, the premise of Parasite is a poor family that swindled away into working for a rich family. But what the film mainly focuses about in terms of like just the wealth disparity within South Korea, but also a look into the world essentially and how much an effect that social class actually has in the individual families and the parallels that into having and the big differences that those two families have. That's the most I'll say about the film itself. But I won't say too much, but it's brilliantly shot. Like, it's one of the best shot films, but one of the best directed films that I've ever watched easily, and I kind of upset.
Give me your top five. You say that a lot. I want to know your off the dome. Like,
off the dome,
even, yeah, off the dome. Give me some of your favorites.
Dune Part 2 is definitely up there. Mm-hmm.
Is it cinematography you're talking about?
Yeah, not just cinematography, just directing, framing, just how well it looks.
Mm-hmm. And general package.
Yeah, and how well the directing adds to the film and the storytelling aspect of it, not just like, oh, you just have a great frame, so on and so forth. Like, for example, Dead Zone.
The Oscar film from last year.
Yeah, I can't remember the full name of it.
About.
I think that's directed really well.
The Holocaust film, right?
The Holocaust film. I think that's directed really well. But I wouldn't say it's one of my favourite directed films, because I don't feel like it lends to the storytelling as well.
You're talking from a combination of
anything that will fit into directing. Okay, so Dune Part 2, Parasite,
Parasite's up there, yeah?
Parasite's definitely up there.
Parasite looks really good. You can even tell from the flyer, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's...
The artwork's dope.
It, like, it looks... I've got about 10 minutes in, I got distracted, because obviously it's not...
Yeah, I've done that before as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to sit there and concentrate, yeah.
I think that's the type of film, ideally, you watch in the cinema, because you have
that. Yeah, I'm sad I'm not watching cinema. 2001 Odyssey might be my favourite film of all time.
Yeah.
Because I watched that in the cinema, and I was blown away at how good it was.
Early this year, right?
Early this year, and that film came out in the 60s.
Yeah, I remember.
Might be my favourite directed film ever. I'm going to do a proper list eventually, because that's such a good
question. I know it's one of your favourite aspects of films.
Yeah, it has been. It definitely was in the past. It's definitely something that I've grown into recently. And also the acting from the South Koreans was superb. Like, I really enjoyed it. I really liked each of the characters, even some characters that really had short period within screen. They affected me, like, in terms of watching the film. And
it's very dope.
Yeah, it's storytelling brilliantly. And yeah, Parasite is... I'm ashamed that it took me so long to watch it.
It's a top tier film.
Right? It's one of the best films I've watched. Definitely one of the best directed films I've watched. And just really, really enjoyable. Buffer, I haven't been to cinema much as of late.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I went for a stint where I've watched, like, films that were okay, I didn't love, and they kind of put me off going to cinema for a little while. I don't know, I think it's got to the point that I love watching films and I love watching TV shows, but I'm just tired of watching mid.
Yeah.
It gets exhausting after a while. But yeah, Parasite.
Cool.
This film I watched recently.
Let's kick start with you, because you're a TV...
Actually, no, I watched Bottoms, but I feel like this was ages ago. I might have spoken about it.
I don't think it's worldwide.
Yeah.
What's that?
So it's these two girls, they start a fight club at school in order to move to some other girls that they really like the cheerleaders.
Is it serious? Cool.
No, not even in the slightest.
Okay.
Not even in the slightest.
Okay.
It's got Ayo in it.
Yeah, it's got Ayo Adebiri.
That's why it's not serious.
Oh, come on.
No, as in, like, come on, she has too much comedy.
she is so funny.
Mm.
And it's got, I really love her, but I think after watching, I was like, oh, I'm like a stan.
Yeah.
Unhealthy incredible. Stan. Yeah.
It's got the same podcast, we'll interview her at some point.
Yeah. Friend of the show. Man.
She's amazing.
I saw her and I bought it.
Yeah, pussy.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
Okay, on to TV. So I have been watching a series called Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself.
I've seen a clip of it. I need to watch it.
Guys, it might be one of the best shows I've watched this year. And you know, I watch TV a lot.
Mm.
Yo, it's so fucking good. So basically, there's this couple. Their names have left my mind.
Kevin?
I know their actual names. So you got Kevin, but I know the wife. I just know it's Anne Murphy because she was in Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Just another dickhead.
For real, innit? It kills me about Anne Murphy. So she's like in her late 30s, I think, yeah? But it looks like she's in like early 30s, late 20s. She looks like they'll get her to play like the older sibling and stuff. Like, she's not a mature woman, yeah? So every time she's had a role where she has to be a mature woman, they always state her age. And they did that in this as well.
Okay.
Kevin, we're 35. And it's like, are you... Kevin looks like he's in his 40s.
Okay.
Husband looks old as fuck. But she's
they look old. 35 is going to spin me still.
Yeah, but it's like she sat there and she's like, yeah, we're 35. I'm like, in real life, you're actually 37, 38 now, but you just don't look it. So they keep telling us every time you're on screen. There's this couple. Kevin sees their life as a sitcom. She sees it as like this really intense drama, but it's shot that way. So every time, like, you see Kevin's, everything that happens with Kevin is shot from a sitcom. They've got laughing tracks. It's even like, it's really bright, the way like it's filmed. It literally looks, all the angles and everything is all shot from like one position in the house. Like, it literally looks like that. And then her life is actually shot like a really intense drama. It's a super dark comedy, and you get to understand why she hates Kevin and why she actually hates her husband. And the premise of the first season is her like trying to kill her husband, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way it happens. And it's really difficult because you don't, just because Kevin's life is shot from a sitcom, you don't really hate Kevin until you start, like, things happen and whatnot, and you're like, oh, he's actually an arsehole. But it's really difficult in the first couple of episodes to be like, yo, Kevin, go fuck himself, because it's not, it doesn't really give that.
Yeah.
But guys, it's so...
I've seen like two clips of it online. I think the sitcom part where in the living room, eventually goes, sticks the laundry basket and goes to the kitchen. And the transition is so seamless and I'm so spun. It's like watching an episode of Friends and then you're turning to watching an episode of Ozark, like, right away.
No, but it's like, guys, like every scene, like when, literally there's one episode, I think it's the last one, when Kevin walks out of the room, like, he literally walks out of the room and like the lighting just changes and everything, yeah. And you're just like, yo, this is brilliant.
Sounds like WandaVision.
No.
Because WandaVision keeps the same tone, it changes its colour for the most part. The tone of WandaVision is consistent. Like, you can tell it's still the same show.
They jump between 70, 80, 90.
But you still tell...
But that's each episode, and it's based on, like, her, like, treating their life as, like, each period, because she loves TV so much. Mm. Whereas this is, like... I am one. Like, it's a couple.
You're changing genre of the. You're changing genre of the TV show.
Yeah, but as in, like, this is the constant theme, like, throughout, like, the whole of the first season. I've only finished season one now. I'm trying to get season two. Guys, it's so good.
The one clip saw me so quickly. I don't think I've seen anything that creative in TV in a very long time.
I haven't.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think it's
Netflix.
No, it's on Prime Video.
Prime Video.
I got that.
Yeah, but only season one's on Prime Video. You have to buy some too, but I want to do it. Yeah, guys, it's good. And I finished Abbott Elementary, but I feel like we spoke about it
Speaking of TV as well, Rings of Power season 2 is back, or is out now. I haven't actually started yet, but I'm going to start it this week.
I'm seeing rave reviews about it. People are loving it.
What is Rings of Power?
It is the series of Lord of the Rings.
Stop there.
Nope, I'm going to carry on. Season 1 was... I said this last season, I think, on our season 2. I was like...
That was a bit of shade towards you.
No, there was.
Oh, shit, staring my
back. It was. But I said that it was one of the best looking TV series I've ever seen in my whole life. The CGI was absolutely outstanding, as out of this world. Jeff Bezos, it's actually his favorite franchise ever, the Lord of the Rings franchise. So when he bought the IP for it, he put peas into the series, and you could tell because the CGI is mad. Like, he treated it like a damn film, and it just looks crazy. It's set kind of like a couple hundred years prior to The Hobbit. So it's the whole build of it is just so sick. But season 2, I only watched the first episode, and already a man's hooked. Man's so hooked. It's beautiful. It's starting again. The press run this time was a lot bigger than the first time around. There was like 4 prems and stuff. I'm just super, super excited for that. Just wanted to shout out and everybody watch it. Hopefully next time I talk about it. Okay.
Cool. Oh, shit, over to me. No?
Have we spoken about The Boys? Yeah.
About how shit it was?
Yeah, we did. I think we did.
I wasn't here for that one, but yeah, it was fucking shit.
Was I not here?
No, you were.
I thought it was Enki, though.
I thought it was Dragon.
I mean, if you want to.
It's shit.
Guys, what? I don't know.
It's my least favorite season, but I don't think it's shit.
It was shit, bruv.
No.
I just feel...
It was underwhelming.
Paid about clip for the
film. Basically, I was so excited for this season.
And then...
And I just felt really underwhelmed, but I don't think it was bad. And also, someone said this to me, and I really can't unsee it. They're just using like the gore and the shock element to compensate for the poor writing. And I was like,
such poor writing.
And I was like, yo, you might be right, because strip that all away, I'm just like excited for how mad everything is, as opposed to like, there's really no storyline this time around.
The gimmick of Homelander killing everyone, and the gimmick of what's his name, of Butcher almost dying every season, is done. Like, I'm done with it. And the gimmick of who's the guy again? Billy, whatever his name is.
Huey.
Yeah, the gimmick of him being like, oh, he's a grown up now. Bruv, like, get somewhere. We're not getting anywhere. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I saw somebody put down a thing. The end of season 3 matches perfectly to the end of season 4. Every character is exactly where they were at the start. Sorry, at the end of season 3.
It's so funny. It's the same criticism people have of House of the Dragon, which is so funny.
They're in the same place. They even compared it to fucking A-Train. They were like, he wasn't even there at the end of season 3. And he's not even there at the fucking end of season 4. Okay, it's just like, bro, like, what?
Yo, that is so true.
Like, what actually changed? Yeah. What actually changed? What actually happened? Nothing fucking happened. What the fuck? And
I would say The Boys is worse for that than House of the Dragon, though. I feel like
enough has happened.
Well, yeah, four seasons.
I think a lot of more minuscule things happen between the characters for me to like be invested in what happens in season 3. Whereas with The Boys, like, I'm a fan of the series, and I was just like, I didn't even rush to watch episodes. it was kind of like, I watch it when I can, whereas normally on a Wednesday morning or when I can, boom, I'm going to watch the episode. And I just like, it felt like this was like a real standalone season where just like, I could have done without this season. And you could have just taken me to season 5 and I would have been happy.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'll add, I think it started off really bad. Like, the first three episodes, I was really bad.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
The first, I couldn't tell it. Like, after episode 3, it got a lot better for me.
I think it was the other way around for me.
I think it started a lot better.
Do you know what?
I was really excited. Every Thursday, I'd wake up and be like, so excited to go watch it.
Really?
I think it's also, I really just enjoy a series. I'm like, kind of just pushing myself. In hindsight, I'm looking back and being like, I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I made out.
Do you know that? I think you're saying episode 3 because that's when they stopped faking the whole like CIA thing. Like, oh, we're part of the CIA and Butcher's not in this crew and da-da-da-da-da type shit.
Finn will go around the circus quite
Butcher's
a bit.
In, then he's out, then he's in, then he's out.
Which, by the way, was the whole theme of season 3.
But one thing that I do think that they had some good elements. I think Sister Sage was a great addition.
Unbelievable.
She was to the season.
She was really good.
I think Ryan's character arc was impressive in terms of like we're seeing him turning into more of a homelander than into what his mum, a butcher, wanted to be.
It's the concepts of power, right? Like when you gain power, can you still remain the person that you were before?
And we've seen that quite a lot from the time that he got the guy that was harassing his subordinate, and then he got her to slap him. Event, I'm saying, slap
him. Smile on his face.
He was enjoying that, and we saw like the evilness of him creeping up, and I like that aspect in terms of Ryan.
But would you say there was also still like the humanity in him? But there was he was still fighting back from.
Yeah, because there's still some level. Because the reason he enjoyed that part is because he felt like he was doing good.
Yeah,
and hence that's still the human in him. Whenever he done something like when he the old woman, we accidentally killed her. He was obviously upset.
Crazy,
we also upset about it. He just doesn't know his own strength, and he ran off. He done something similar to somebody else before, and he almost had a breakdown because of that. But because he's done it twice now, I think he's getting more used to it. Because the second time he did it, he wasn't as upset, and he was closer to that person. He just ran off. So I feel like the writing for Ryan aspect was good. I feel like Adrian's redemption arc was actually well done. I did appreciate his redemption arc, and it made sense for him to skedaddle because there's nothing that he could do in those moments. I did enjoy Homelander turning to the person that he has now become, because he's now shed all this. He shed all this humanity out of him at the end of season 4. He's finally broken through that barrier in terms of not being able to see himself as less human. When he went into the bunker and eventually faced his childhood trauma by facing all this the different doctors and people down there by playing those little games they did.
Oh, told him to
use it or lose it, Marty.
No, yeah.
That's the most insane line from the whole season, man. Use it or lose it, Marty.
I think there's a lot of issues that I had with the boys, but I do think there are quite some good aspects in terms of it me excited for the final season.
The boys, but he said that. The boys is always kind of exciting, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of stuff, but I feel like we deserve the story.
I think we had the story, like with the stuff I just mentioned. We had stories,
but those are kind of like individual factors that that should be part of this wider world, right? And just because they've done a few things well, that's like in like the World Cup final. Okay, like you're right back and you're centre mid and you're left wing playing well, but then no one scoring goals on. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like.
I said this is the worst season, but
yeah, no.
And I just spoke about the aspects that I like, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the aspects are cool.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just not enough.
You missed last.
Okay, that's why it's the worst season. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know, man. I just got fucking.
It's like when you dislike something, you just can't hear anything good about it.
A series that I've been watching recently
is
a series that I've been seeing across my socials, and it's so mad. I had never seen anything about this series beforehand, and it's Industry. I hadn't seen anything. Like, I didn't even know it existed, and I think the promo for season 3 started for it's a HBO series. That's also
can you give me the
premise?
Yeah,
Basola's not gonna like this series. Firstly,
okay,
you will not like it.
Industry.
Yeah,
you don't think?
Yes, I would.
You've seen it?
I started watching it. I just didn't finish it. I can't remember why.
Considering all of the crudeness and. Like the over the top nature of the sex scenes and the drugs.
Yeah, but
do you know what's mad? Yeah,
first 10 minutes.
All the shows that I've watched, this show makes the most sense with the sex scenes.
I'm not mad. I can watch that shit. Not actually, naturally. I don't mind. I just think certain people would be put off by how some people would be put off by like how egregious, crude, over the top, how in your face this series is because it doesn't hold back.
Yeah, is it contextual?
There's not. I don't think there's a SA scene that I've seen. So.
Yeah, and I'll I'll be surprised if
there's... No, there is. How far into it are you?
End of episode 3.
You should have seen something already with the woman in the cab.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That made me hella uncomfortable.
She's a fucking weirdo.
She's a mad woman. She's a mad woman. But yeah, industry essentially follows like 5 to 6 graduates. And it's got David Johnson, for example, from Rylane, who's recently in Alien Romulus. Mahalia. Oh, let me get her name correct because I don't want
to. Wait, the black guy?
No, she's a.
Rylane?
Yeah.
No. The guy from Rylane.
David Johnson, yeah.
Mahalia, so good,
Mahalia Herald, who plays Harper. She's really good. But essentially, the series follows like 5 graduates who are coming out of. They're sort of graduating and they're trying to earn a place at a prestigious. Financial firm. It's like a banking firm in London. So they're all competing for this place, and it looks into like the depths of how far people will go to succeed and to do well in life and to get that place at that. I think it's called Pierpoint and Co.
Pierpoint, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like it was so engrossing to watch. Like when I started watching it, there was part of me who was so put off by what was in my face. But I couldn't stop watching. And I think the great thing about industry, it's not afraid to make almost all of the characters super unlikable.
Yeah.
Like there's not a character that I can say I resonate with or I understand where they're coming from or I like. I could argue all of them are pieces of shit.
Mm.
Horrible human beings from the graduates to the people working at the
Is that bank, all the bank
firm. Doesn't that give you How to Get Away with Murder vibes?
Yeah, it's got elements of that. I get it.
Because that was the reason...
The law coming out of law. Yeah,
that was the reason it was recommended to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's really, really good, man. It's gritty. It's in your face. It's not scared to show you the depths of what these guys get up to in their private lives. But their private lives also cross over into their professional lives. And it's like a huge mix-up of, like, chaos. Young people being young people, in a sense. And it's not scared to make the women unlikable, which I really, really like.
Yeah.
Because sometimes...
There's not a single good woman in that show.
There isn't. Oh, bro. You know what I'm talking about? The white girl? I forgot her name.
If I speak...
Bro, she is horrible.
Wait, which one are you talking about? The one that was that lived with...
With Harper?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bro, if I speak...
I don't know what you just mean.
She's not a good woman.
She's probably one of the worst written characters I've seen in quite some time. But it's so serious. But they're not scared to make the women characters unlikable, which I like because I think at times, and I'll use House of the Dragon as a comparison, I think elements in me understand why they've made Rhaenyra hesitant to act in certain ways and Alicent sort of reverted back from how she was in season 1. But there's also, you've lost your child, you've lost your grandson, act on it sort of thing, right? Whereas I think they've tried to make Rhaenyra and Alicent somewhat likeable to the audience because Daenerys became so unlikable at the back end of season 8 of Game of Thrones. Yeah. This series, listen, Harper is a piece of shit as well.
Yeah, of course she is.
Like, and they're all, she's so driven to be the best as well.
Yeah.
You can see. Yeah, the character interactions are so interesting. It's very sharply written for me. I like the way it's sort of framed and yeah, it's a really, really good series. I'd say give it a watch. I'd say give it a watch.
Yeah.
Especially you. Now that I know that you might not be put off by like...
I think, you
it's
know
It's on iPlayer. My thing it's a like, combination with BBC as well. It's a British drama, right?
It's a British-American. Yeah. So that's why I think HBO have got aspects of it and that's why it's also on BBC.
Yeah.
It's really good, man.
What's so funny about it is that it's hard to watch. Like...
Oh, facts.
The struggle is not because it's written by anything. It's just so intense. Like, the character interactions are very intense.
It's because the stakes always feel like they're quite
high. They're always high. But it's written so well. Like, I enjoy each of the characters that I have there. Like I said, they're all pieces of shit. I'm only 3 episodes in. But I really enjoy the decisions that they're making. It makes sense. And even the way the first episode ends, I was spun. I didn't expect it to go down that route. I'm not going to spoil it because I know you've seen it, but I don't think it's...
I didn't get through the episode.
Oh, okay.
I was just so distracted. I don't know what I was doing, but I was like, I'm going to start and I didn't finish it.
You like it. And even the character that's only in 1 episode, which is in the first episode, he was such a good actor.
Oh, the young boy?
Yeah, the South Asian brother.
I was about to ask you guys, how young is the cast?
I don't know age, but they look early mid-20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all graduates.
Because the main focus is on the young graduates rather than, and then it's their interactions with their superiors in the bank firm, which is really interesting. It deals with like ambition, identity.
Diverse cast?
diverse.
Yeah, very diverse.
Identity, ambition, what people do to succeed in life.
Yeah.
And the fact that these characters will make bad decisions that will benefit them, which I like. Would recommend it, man.
It gave me a similar feel to The Bear in terms of their intensity.
Oh, yeah. Without necessarily all of the shouting, it's more like...
Because the tension, the stakes, it's written so well, man.
Okay, quick thing about The Bear. You guys are all into it, innit? Have you seen the quote with the best bear scene? Yeah? And yeah, people are basically posting their favourite scenes from The Bear. And remember, like, we said it before, like, someone's like, I'm not sure if it really is a comedy. And I was like, no, this is such a funny show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's even funnier than I thought it was. There's one particular scene, yeah, where Cindy's shouting at my man and she's like, you're not even Italian. But it's part, like, the fact that everyone screamed, but that's all you can hear from her.
And it's a Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then there's another one at the birthday party I had to do, yeah? It's like, oh, I thought you were dead. It's like, oh, that's my brother.
But yeah. That's
still one of the funniest, like,
It's sharp and dry, isn't it?
It's so good, guys. Yeah. We need a series that we all watch. So should we do Industry?
Yeah, please.
Okay, cool.
Please. I think that's why I like The Bear, because the comedy is dry.
Yes, it's not in your face.
Yeah.
I think season 3 was the most in your face with the comedy.
Yeah, because of
good facts.
Yeah.
The facts. And John Cena as well.
That was a good episode.
Industry is good, man. I'd give it, I'd just recommend it. I'm on season 2, but obviously I've seen in season 3.
6 episodes.
Oh, come on!
Season 3, Kit Harrison enters the fray.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh.
I see one scene.
Oh, he goes mad. Yeah.
I was meant to ask you this. Have you watched Slave Play yet?
No, too many mixed reviews for me to actually go and watch it.
Someone needs to watch it before me. But everyone I've asked, they'd be like, they left. And that's the problem. I need someone to watch the complete thing, and I feel like that's you.
But the thing is, I've seen people that had said it was good, but I'm sorry, the mixed reviews is too much. I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah, but also it's called Slave Play. I'm not in a rush.
Yeah,
that's more than enough for me to be like...
That's what originally I didn't go and watch it, but then I saw people like it. And then I saw people hate it. It's like, yeah, I'm just not going to bother them.
Because people that hate it, they proper hate it. People that like it, they're like, yeah, it was okay. But it's not. No one's been like, this was good for this reason. I haven't had like a clear, and that's...
Yeah.
So,
apparently it's better raunchy though.
Hassan will pay for your ticket. So please go watch it.
Let's go. Can I quickly talk about...
I'll do it. It's fine.
Okay, cool. For him to go watch Slave Play so he can come talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Can I quickly talk about Presumed Innocent?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, run it.
Apple TV series. We know Apple are head honchos right now.
Can you give me your Apple TV login, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think I can.
You have to give your login to your Apple ID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. That's the only reason I never share my Apple TV.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's the only way you can get Apple TV. It's like for you.
Not true.
So how would you log in?
You can get it through for example, the first time that I got it was through my 14 HQ account, because I got it as like a perk on my phone, like O2.
Web. But you have to get, was it Apple ID for 14?
Nah, it's still a streaming service, so you can you can still sign up for it non-Apple ID.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Before you couldn't. Past like year now, you can.
Cool.
But you probably already have signed up with your Apple ID, so.
Presumed Innocent is like an American legal thriller. I'm reading off my sort of fucking notes here. That follows prosecutor iPad. Rusty Sabish,
mm-hmm.
Played by Jake Gyllenhaal. This is his first foray into TV as well.
I've seen this trailer. It looks fucking sick.
Well, firstly, you know, with Apple TV, you know what you're going to get is like great cinematography, directing and the lighting production.
It looks sick,
The value of the series, like the tone of the series from a storytelling perspective matches the aesthetic throughout, whether it's daytime, nighttime, it's dark, it's gloomy, and you can feel the weight of the series. Rusty works with a colleague and she ends up passing away, and then it's up for debate who unalived her. And we don't actually know until the last minute of like the last episode, which is episode 8. It's got some great actors, so Bill Camp's in it.
Oh my fucking God.
Bill Camp's in it.
Really want to see it, really want to see it.
Peter Sarsgaard is incredible in this series, bro. So what you have is the professional stakes between Rusty, which is Jake's character, and Peter Sarsgaard and his character. I think his character's name's Tom, but I might be wrong. But anyway, the stakes between those two, in tandem with the fact that you have this case that's left open where she's passed away and we don't know who's did it, and he's accused of doing so, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, makes this series so, it's like tense, it's thrilling, it's engrossing. I really, really enjoyed the courtroom scenes, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, the courtroom, what's it called? last year. What did we watch?
No Meal Fool.
Yeah.
So those.
I was going to say, because I remember the name. I've been on a roll.
So the tone of that, in terms of the courtroom.
Don't smile at me about it.
The tension of a courtroom scene, when it's done well, is some of the best acting.
Tyrion Lannister?
Exactly. Oh, come on. You know the vibes.
Guys, I actually do think that was a really good court scene.
What was the one?
I didn't like the film.
I watched that last night. Fun.
What?
That court scene.
I was with Tyrion Lannister.
The court scene with Kerry Washington.
What film?
No, Hassan gets burnt alive.
I don't think I've seen that film, you know.
It was like a real story from like back in the days.
No idea. But
I'll continue on anyway for now.
Till.
Oh, okay.
He's burnt alive.
Oh, he got like him beaten up. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
Let's kid.
He got beaten up. He got like
Emmett Till
beaten to death, right? Yeah.
That's not how he died.
Well, I sort of filming it. You know.
So remember earlier how I mentioned Channing Tatum and the way he was able to embody both like a charming and charismatic guy, but on the face, under the surface, there's like a darkness within him. That's the same thing with Jake Gyllenhaal and his character Rusty. He's incredible, man. Like, he's really good. But I think Peter Sarsgaard is the star of the series.
Really?
Yeah, okay. He's really, really, really good.
That family is something else, man.
It's got a great cast. It's got a really, really good cast. I'd highly recommend it, man. And it's one of those, again, it's a tough one to watch because it deals with certain themes that people will find uncomfortable to watch in terms of abuse to women. And it is very graphic and in your face, so I don't know if everybody would want to watch that particular aspect of the series. I think I spoke about it with Sophie recently. I was walking to record the House of the Dragon episode and I saw her and she said, oh, what are you watching? I said, I presume innocent. She said, I can't really watch it because of it's like really, really graphic.
I've got a question for you guys, yeah? Obviously, I guess, no, I need to phrase this correctly. Do you think there will ever be a time where there are films or TV shows or just media in general to consume that doesn't have violence against women, hasn't got any sex scenes, hasn't got any of that stuff, but still considered good and adult and mature? Do you think it comes, things are naturally more like adult or like,
well, don't
or think- better series, like, oh, it's a better series as well this, as well that, because there is an element of like, I can watch this and other people can't.
Yeah, for sure. But like I think people are going extreme in series and films now because we were stuck in a superhero era for so long. For 10 years, like the
but
only things that we're making.
Case?
I don't think we were. I honestly think that's a lie. For real. I think we were talking about the superhero, like the cage we were in with superhero movies. They were just the biggest ones. But movies were coming out.
No. And movies
they were doing well, they just weren't doing as well as Marvel. Marvel was like, it was breaking boundaries in terms of like what they even thought was capable.
Exactly, yeah.
But that wasn't, just because someone's like, okay, Usain Bolt's super fast, fastest man alive, but another fast person isn't slow.
Yeah, but Biss, that...
slower than Usain Bolt.
Nah, but Biss, it changed studios, it changed their budgets, their choice in directors, in the direction that they were going. They stopped doing rom-coms for years because they were literally like, well, we're not going to profit from it at the moment because people are going to see all of these rom-com stars become superheroes, Henry Cavill's and blah, 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 okay, they've all become thinking now, so we can't translate that same money, right? So it's it does affect it like greatly because it's not just one superhero film. Marvel have cast over like 120 actors now in these films. Half of them were extremely known, and then the other half were upcoming actors who are now extremely known. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? They've overcasted, and not only that, okay, they've saturated the whole market. So in that time, people, in order to stand out or to do something that can be profitable, have had to either do sequels or remakes or prequels or blah, blah, blah. Or if they're doing a film, they're giving an independent budget to films like Parasite, Get Out, Everywhere, or All at Once. These small budgets where it's like, yo, here's like 5 to 30
everywhere,
mil.
Everywhere's that was quite a big budget, right?
It was like...
It had to be because it had...
Everywhere, All at Once. It was definitely a big budget film. You mentioned it last time we spoke about it.
We Googled it, right? It was like 80 mil or something, right?
It wasn't too big, Everywhere, All at Once.
Is 18 not a lot?
No, but I'm saying for like a sci-fi thing, that's not a lot, right? Okay, but like my point is, okay, people are giving like less than 20 mil for films now to directors or actors that want to be directors in order to kind of like push a small margin, and they go, yeah, that was a success. Oh my god, yeah, sick. Now that we're kind of coming out of that superhero, okay, and then those superhero actors are going into these massive films like Oppenheimer or whatever it is, okay, I agree with you completely. They're doing a lot of Oscar bait films, and unfortunately at the moment,
what's an Oscar bait film? Name some.
So unfortunately at the moment, Oscar bait films.
No, I'm being serious. I think people use that as like a
Wait.
It's easy to say Oscar bait.
No, I use it as like a blanket term.
But I'm saying, unfortunately, at the moment, Oscar bait films mostly it have to include stuff that emotionally invoke the same crowd. Whereas films like animations were winning Oscars for just being funny or just being cute. Whereas now it's like, oh, that scene was so deep and so dark, and oh my god.
I think we're heading down a really dark path where violence against women is like the only thing that can evoke emotion. And I'm not saying that just to be annoying, but like the amount of films that are like, oh, I watched a film, yeah, and it had like 5 or 6 trigger warnings, and I was like, in what world do we need this? This is how I feel about Game of Thrones, yeah. Especially, I know you guys are going to disagree, but it is a fictional period piece, if anything, yeah? We don't need graphic, like, you can allude to things. You don't need graphic scenes. The fact that one of the directors waited till Sophie Turner was 18 to give us a rape scene of her is insanity. That's absolute insanity. We don't need it. It's not necessary.
I felt the same way about being a Muslim, and between 2002 and 2018-19, all we got was Americans saving people in the Arab community or Africa, like Blood Diamond, all these films, okay, where it was like, actually the film is actually about you guys colonizing, but really and truly we're just praising you for killing people. Do you know what I mean? It was a lot of that, and like there's like I watched a film. This is a true story, by the way, okay? This is when I was still doing PR in film. I got invited to a very early screening of a film that had no name at the time. The film was based on Afghanistan, how the Taliban took over and everybody obviously had to evacuate Afghanistan, right? When I walked in to go watch that film at BAFTA on my mother's life, that happened 2 months prior. How the hell did they write the film? Get Jake Gyllenhaal, Gerard Butler, and I think the film's out now, it's called Kadar, right? I don't know, whatever, yeah? Gerard Butler, blah, blah, blah. How did they get all these men, okay, to pattern this in 2 months? They literally wrote a film about something that happened 2 months prior and then just waited. They said, oh, it's calm. That was 2021. And then it came out in 2023. They shot it in 2 months. Like, it's just, like, there's no... Everything that we suffer from and that they're going to profit off, because it's the only thing people look at. The same reason why we read the news or Shea Burrow or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same reason why we go to the cinema, unfortunately, for most people.
One thing that I add is that it's kind of crazy that we've spoken quite about a few shows, a few films today, and the focus of a lot of those films are...
Yeah, it's true. It's fucked up.
But what I would say is that I don't think, for the most part, those are usually the films like at the end of the year that... get the most praise or the most highly rated. Even if you go through like the Oscar nominated films from the past year, I don't think there was a focus on domestic abuse or abuse or any kind in most of those films. So it is kind of...
It might be worse, you know. It might be worse that it's, you're not even doing it for the highest praise or doing it. You're actually just doing it to get bums and seats. I think that might actually be worse, because that's like...
If that's the purpose, then yeah.
But that's what I liked, The Ends of Us, because I feel like it was done so we can have an insight on something. Mm.
Then I guess that's just a thing of people that cinema goers or even us to talk about more often, because I would have the same issue with slave films, for example.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's got exhausting constantly. Or even just black trauma films. Like, I particularly don't watch films that I know are more...
That's why American Fiction was so amazing.
Because it didn't have black trauma.
No, it took the piss out of black trauma.
I actually don't think American Fiction was that at all.
What do you mean?
I don't think it took the piss as much as you think it did. Because Okay.
It just has a sensible look into what black trauma is and how black yeah, how black people are exploited with the stories. So I wasn't thinking to piss off.
But then you've got Issa Rae's character genuinely being like not really seeing the wrong in what she's doing.
Yeah.
It gives you a bit of a balance. I don't know. I was a bit conflicted at the end of American Fiction. I couldn't decide if I liked it or not.
I thought it was cool.
If I like that scene in particular, or this, the decision at the
end. I hear.
But yeah, I think it's just the violence against women being super graphic. It's just, I just don't know. I'm really conflicted. Like, every time I want to watch something, and I'm like, oh, God, like, and then you watch it, and you're like, wow, so they had to clear everyone off set to make it, like, a real intimate scene, and they had to get coordinators on all for five seconds of an R-word scene.
That could just been alluded to rather than, yeah.
I mean, simply saying it is more than enough.
Yeah.
It's literally more than enough that these are all graphics. I'm just like, what's... And then it will be nothing about nothing. And it will come up. That's why I hate Sam Levinson so much. Is the R-word scene with the black boy. And it nothing happens after. And everyone's like, yeah, because no one talks about like sexual assault against black men. And I was like, well.
But you're making a film.
So why did you put it in a series and then not address it?
Yeah.
That's the perfect time to address it. To just be like, nothing happened and leave it at that. It's like, that's so dangerous.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Just to round up on.
So serious, my bad.
All good. Just to round up on. Presumed Innocent. It's 8 episodes on Apple TV. The last thing I like about it is like Rusty's stakes and some of the stakes in his life aren't just the fact that he could go down for a particular case.
Yeah.
It's also the fact that he's completely and utterly destroyed his family. And it's a look into like how the behaviour of men and just our behaviour as human beings, whatever we choose to do when we go about our day-to-day life, can have an impact on the people that are closest to us.
Mm.
So like you have to think beyond just yourself when you decide to sleep with someone that isn't your partner, for example, or you decide to, I don't know, attack someone at a bus stop, for example.
Yep.
Like, your actions don't just impact yourself. And I think that's quite a profound, like, I don't know if that's intentional, but it's also quite an important thing for us to consider as people. So, it's a good series.
I'm watching that shit, bro. Anything Apple TV I'm down for. I guess just, can I talk about Trapped? Trap.
Okay. I was going to segue.
Keep calling it Trapped.
You didn't? I was going to.
No.
I had a segue for you as well, and you completely.
My boy, go.
No, stand now. It's all yours.
No, I really want to hear it.
No,
hear it.
Ruined it. All yours. Talk to me about Trapped, because this film, I've heard mixed reviews about, actually. Like, some people, well, there's one guy that said, I loved it. But I think he loved it because he got an early invite. I'm being so serious. And then the rest has been like, it's been so shaky. A lot of talk about nepotism and M. Night trying to like.
That kills me. He put his daughter on.
To promote her songs and stuff. So
pick up him.
Was that his daughter? And he was in it too, you know?
I heard the only redeeming trait is Josh Hartnett, so talk to me.
Josh Hartnett is the main guy?
Yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah, I heard he's great.
He was really good. He was really good. Even his wife at the end, because she doesn't play a role really through 90% of it.
Okay.
And then at the end, she plays a massive role in it. And then you go, wow, she's really good.
Premise of that? I know it's like a...
The premise of the film is that obviously he's like a psycho murderer, chops people up and stuff and all of that jazz. And that the police have...
More violence.
Yes, but not just against women. because everybody, he does not discriminate. Anybody can get it. Trust me, he's crazy. And so,
has he played the role well?
He plays the role really well because at the start, you sympathize with him. Not sympathize with him, you almost want him to win, you know, which is really, really weird because he's in his concert with his daughter and he loves his daughter, obviously, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And don't forget, this is a really different way of doing like a psychotic film about like a murderous guy.
Mm-hmm.
You get everything backwards. You don't get his motive at first. You don't get to know him at all. It's just straight away like he's trying to get out of this concert that they've trapped him in with like a bunch of police because they know that he's there, but they just don't know his face. So
cool.
So they're looking for him, but he's like a genius. Well, he's not genius, like he's been doing this for time. So he's trying to get out without his daughter clocking that he is who he is, you know. And the singer and everyone, they're all in on it. Like So he's trying to get out of this like free stadium.
I feel like you're spoiling this.
No, and all this is from the trailer. Everything they said.
Yeah, everything I was saying. I'm literally picturing the trailer in my head.
Do you like it or not?
Do you know what? The end made me be like.
So did you get invited to a screening?
No.
Okay, cool.
No. The end made me be like, huh? Good film.
Really?
I like a good ending. The ending was dope. The ending was so dope.
So where were you beforehand?
Huh?
Where were you before that?
The start was dope.
Uh-huh.
The middle was like, And then the end was dope.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But the only reason why the middle was knee was because, like, I don't actually know. I just can't say it. But yes, like definitely give it a what. He is consistent throughout the whole thing.
Who, Josh?
100%. Yeah. Okay. The police people, I wish they were better, man. I wish they had just hired someone else. The casting was awful. Really? I really wish it was a black guy. I just feel like we're more motivated. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
criminal,
it was,
yeah?
It was like an old white woman. Okay. And I was like, brother, she doesn't care.
Right.
Like, I just wish it was like a, I don't know. Like Jamie Foxx in that role would have been cold. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're thinking of Law Abiding Citizens.
I am. But yeah, so yeah, that film was really, really good. I would definitely recommend it. It's not like a, it's not like an 8 out of 10, but it could hit a 7. It's good.
Oh really? Question for you.
Yeah.
Glenn Powell.
Mm.
He's on a bit of a run.
He is.
Mm. Anyone But You.
Anyone But You. Yeah.
Twisted. Hitman. Hitman, yeah. That came out on Netflix with Adria Arjona.
Yeah.
You think's a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
She's attractive, to be fair.
Good milk.
Twisters. He was in Top Gun Maverick. Completely forgot he was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
How old is Glenn Powell?
He's in his 30s.
Late 30s as well.
Yeah. But it feels like this is his time. It feels like he's on a...
Killing it.
And I have to give him credit, because sometimes it feels as though like someone's just like thrust into your face. Oh, this is crazy. But they're like thrust upon you.
Sorry.
It took you a second, didn't it?
Nah, I thought he was going to say pause, but I was like, I don't want to be immature. But it was just too crazy.
Yeah,
it's a mad one.
He is very handsome, though.
Good looking chap. And it feels... No, but he's everywhere. But what I've really noticed is that, like, for everything that he said in interviews and stuff, like, he's really, like, committed to the cause and committed to, like, being a great actor and taking it beyond just being a pretty boy who can act. Like, he wants to be great. I think he speaks about Denzel quite often and how he's taken inspo from Denzel and Tom Cruise, or, like, and those are the best of the best.
I think in Anyone But You, I said this in the last episode because I just watched it recently when I was on the plane. She is so dry in it. Oh, my God. Watching her made me hurt my head so much, okay? She was so dry in it. And he was funnier than her. How about that? He was funnier than her.
He's a very funny guy.
No one's ever casted her to be funny.
I feel like there was just jokes that just didn't hit. And I was like, anyways. With him, I guess we're going on to Twisters now, right?
That's all.
Have you guys seen it?
No.
Guys?
It's on the list. I actually haven't gone to cinema.
I watched it last night. It was so good.
Longer than me.
I was so shocked.
No, I actually want to watch it.
He was really good in it. The supporting cast were fantastic in it. The start of it is really exciting. Do you know what? I love a good with like a disaster film. There's two ways, right? There's either you build up to the final disaster, or you kick off and then you be like, "Rah, that can't happen again." Do you know what I'm saying? And they went with the latter. So.
Interesting.
It starts off really hectic, and then it calms down. And I said to guys, I think earlier on off cam, I was like, there's like a 20 minute bit where it's a lot of cringe acting from the main woman. I forgot her name, but she just so cringe. It's all that thing about, oh, I've got trauma now, but it's not.
Is
it's
it
just
Kiernan Shipka?
Yeah. Bond
woman?
Yeah, but it was really just like.
She played Addie.
Sorry.
She played Addie?
About you. Katie
Daisy Edgar Jones.
Yes.
She Star Wars, no?
Star Wars. Yeah. And then once they gave us context about her story and everything else, everything just made way more sense. They added more disaster scenes in the middle, and I love that, because with those films, when they start off big, they always end big. Whereas I love that it was like big story, boom. And it's about tornadoes, and for them to make us interested in a film that is so scientific and you still kind of get it was dope. There's one scene that I want to ruin, yeah, at the end, because I want to talk to you guys just about it, just the premise of it, because there's people next to me. Damn it. All right, cool.
Cool.
But yeah, it's not like scary or anything, but it is a good film. It is a really, really good film. Like, I really enjoyed it. I think I 6.9.
Do you think you're a tough critic, apart from Marvel stuff, obviously?
Yeah, Marvel stuff will get 20 out of 10.
First of all, six.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No one said you...
Five is average. So if I'm giving you 6 point something, that's above average.
Yeah.
That's a good film.
No one said...
That's a solid film to watch.
You've just had a lot of sixes, so I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
To, like,
Alien Romulus 7.4. I love that film, man. It was dope. You see that the basketball player?
Yeah.
It's cold, huh?
You love it, but you only give a 7.4.
7.3.
You love it, but you only give a 7.3.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it a 7, maybe. Just
you,
about.
Do you love it?
No.
Okay, fair. See, you make sense.
No, but what I'm saying is like, it's like I love it, but it's not. It's not better than the films that I've rated 8 before in the past. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you love it from a perspective of somebody that's like really enchanted with the overall franchise? So anytime you see this, there's always going to be elements of that loves what this film does.
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
Obviously afterwards, then you dissect the bits and pieces about, mm-hmm. you know, technical aspects of the film and the storytelling and so on. But you're already going to love the film anyway because of what it is. And then after that.
Yeah, I told you before we went into the screening, I was like, I've been bored of this franchise for like a while, but honest to God, like, it made me want to go back and watch it because I was like, this is actually like, I genuinely enjoyed it, man.
Romulus was good.
It was, yeah, it was good.
I see you went to watch the first one over there. I want to go through the franchise.
Same. Are you doing it in release
Ridley
order?
Scott.
Yeah.
Same. Yes. That's
sort of, yeah.
But yeah, sorry, that was all my films that I've watched. Good, man. I think. Yeah.
It had me. Alien Romulus had me.
Yo, he was shook, by the way. He was jumping.
There was one moment where I jumped. I admit, it got me.
So 7 times.
It got me once. No, it did get me, though.
And it was scary.
So the one time it got me, I was then on the edge. So I didn't jump again. Sort of thing. There's no way I was embarrassing myself again. So I was just kind of like... Yeah, huh?
It's embarrassing when you jump. So.
No, I was calm because it's in the cinema.
Nah, yo, he jumped and then said to me and himself, all right, cool. yeah. He was like, all right, cool.
No, the face huggers are nuts. And then
yeah, it was crazy.
Those other bits and pieces that just fly, nah, they're mad. Yeah. And then...
And then the end was crazy.
Nah, man.
Yo, the end, yeah, I swear to God, was one of there's parts where the final alien basically, yeah, is looking at you. I can't even look at the screen. I'm like, yo, that's disgusting. Nightmares.
It's
disgusting. And it's played by a real person. It's played by a 7'7" basketball player in the US. He's 18 years old.
By the way,
I want to say something, but it's a bit mean, so I'm not going to say
David Johnson, incredible.
What are you going to say?
You got to put people like that down. He's got no contribution to society.
Sorry,
I said I don't want to say it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He said Wimby can't live, you know.
Bruh.
But sorry, before we move on, what's the black guy?
David Johnson. He's incredible.
David Johnson. Said it.
Yeah, Magica.
Brody.
You tell me on the pod.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he was... Okay. He was amazing in it, bro. He was the best part of it. He was the best part of the whole thing. Yeah. He was so good.
Him and Kelly Spaney, definitely.
Yeah, watching him in industry.
He's multifaceted, man.
Yeah.
He's committed to the course.
He's very committed.
He's committed to the course.
He's very committed to the course.
If you see industry, you'll be like, oh, right, I didn't know you had that in your locker, bro. I don't know if I can ask, bro.
Or is he that super gay or something? Yeah.
But not even on a phobic thing. Like, on the genuine, like, committed.
Is that phobic to say that you wouldn't?
No, I'm just being defensive and clarifying. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's not phobic at all.
Yeah, no, he's locked in,
very locked in.
Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about before we wrap up?
I did and I forgot it. Now I'm kind of annoyed that I forgot.
Shout out to One Day, quick one. Love
oh
it.
yeah, go off.
One of the best written shows that Netflix has ever produced. Love the love stuff. It's so funny because he used to mock the genre. A little while ago. Yeah, not mocking, but like, I would have told you that my second least favourite genre.
What's your first least favourite?
Horror.
Why do I think you like scary stuff?
I like elements of horror in film and TV, but the genre of horror...
Terrifying.
It's not that it's terrifying, I just don't like
I don't like that idea of being scared.
Like it.
I think it's crazy that I'm going somewhere to go and scare myself and go home and have to sleep. I think that's just a crazy concept. I can't believe you normalized it.
No, that's fine. It's good. But I just don't get scared in horror films. I think that's one of the reasons. And the stories don't move me.
Oh, you're the one that's like...
Yeah, the stories don't move me enough for me to actually care about them. But hopefully that'll change if I watch more horrors the same way.
With One Day. It's emotive storytelling.
Yeah, very emotive storytelling. Character writing is superb.
I agree. It's well written.
I'll quick summary in terms of like... It's a show about two people that finish university in Edinburgh. They meet each other on July 15th for the first time. They get along, spend the whole day together. And then the show shows us every year on that day, what's happening in their lives and what's going on. They grow apart at some point. He ends up having another relationship. She ends up having other relationships. But the character writing, not just for them two, but also the supporting cast. And in terms of whenever we see a glimpse on the other characters' lives, like, I'm really, really attached to the other characters I'm happy to know what they're doing and enjoy the characters in it. And one of the characters, the one that plays Tilly, I can't remember her name, sorry, but she acted in Sleepover. She's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant actor. It was a theatre show that was in Butch Theatre, and I hope that it comes back in theatre. She's a brilliant, brilliant actor. Really enjoyed watching her on one day. But yeah, so such a well-written show, and I recommend it for anybody that hasn't watched it. I feel like I was the last person, but yeah, man.
Yeah, it broke records at the start of the year.
I saw him watch that.
It broke records at the start of the year for being one of Netflix's most watched shows. And I think Baby Reindeer kind of took over.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's a wrap up.
It was such a moment. Sorry.
No, it was. They're gonna pick up some Emmys, definitely.
100%. Yeah. The woman that played Martha?
She's incredible.
Give her everything.
I was watching an interview of her recently, and I was like, you're really talented.
Yeah. Yeah, when I've heard her speak like normally, I rate it even more.
Yeah.
Rated even more. You couldn't be further away from another person.
Literally. Like,
couldn't be further away from that person. How you got into that mode so consistently, incredible.
And then obviously seeing the interview with the real life Martha with Piers Morgan.
Exactly.
And I was like, bro, they could be the same person. Like, this is actually insanity. This,
no.
I get what you mean when you say you don't want to like call it a good series and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's also
the fact that it is good, right?
Yeah.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Same way we're talking about industry, like, it makes me uncomfortable to watch. But it's interesting when there's some TV shows or films or just some piece of art in general where you don't want to say, oh, this was good. Not because it wasn't written well or produced well or whatever. It's just that you didn't find
like
comfort
people
watching.
People can perceive what you're saying to be good, meaning like you enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think that's also us just being a bit defensive. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you can say you enjoy something that's good that has dark themes and so on and so forth.
It's difficult, yeah.
But it's also an interesting aspect in terms of like just consuming art, where you can consume something I think is great, but like I'm never go back to this ever again because of how I felt about it. But also, again, showcases how well.
So, do you ever think like replay value? When people talk about things being good, that's not like a really nice clip.
Sexy.
Would you ever say like replay value has a part to play when you decide if something's good or not?
At times, it depends on the.
70% of time.
It really depends on the what that particular piece of art was trying to translate.
Mm.
Like, if it's something, it's trying to translate something very gruesome, it's like, oh, this is absolutely amazing, but I'll never come back to it because I don't want to feel like this again. But because I felt this much because of it, I can tell that it's great. But if it's something like it's meant to be fun and enjoyable, if there isn't replay value into that, then that plays a part into how much I like it. Why would I not want to reconsume something that's enjoyable?
Okay, I get you.
I'm going to be intrigued to see how I feel about Crazy Stupid Love if I rewatch it in like 2 years. Because I watched it for the first time recently.
I'm so happy for you.
I tried to watch it for the first time the other day.
What happened?
Oh, he was joking.
Yeah. Oh, for a second, I thought you meant this because
he used that as his.
You're a fucking.
It wasn't me that put it on.
I'm not going to lie, that would work on me too.
I'll pod in it another day because
it wasn't me that put it on. I was so like, timeless. So I saw guys watch it. I was like, yeah, let's watch it.
It's a timeless one, so I can talk about it another time. But it's really, really, really good.
We can do. I'm going to give you a list of things to watch and then we can comms. Break down. Yeah.
You don't think I'm a com guy, do you?
No. Have you guys watched He's Just Like Into You?
No, but I need
honestly, to. One of the greatest movies ever.
I was going to watch Legally Blonde one day just to come and talk to you about it, but I still haven't done it.
Okay, can you hurry up?
Yeah,
but actually, I think you enjoy He's Just Like Into You a bit more.
Okay.
It's shot really well.
I've watched Legally Blonde, but I need to watch it, but yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Dope.
It's shot really well. It's got like all these like stories and paths and how they kind of interact with each other in the main cast and just the themes of love and how love can be perceived. But it's like really like... It's
really
good.
I'm really in the mood just to watch rom-coms at the moment, so I'll give a bang.
Yes, sir. I'm going to put a list for you with the group chat.
Yeah, please do.
Post-credit scene podcast.
Cheers.
14 HQ original lovers of film, TV and theatre.
Gang.
The Shifters. Shout out to Toss and Cole. Shout out to Manny. Flying the flag.
Going to watch it 5 more times.
Yes, shout out to Toss and Cole, man.
That was not the segue I was trying to segue out.
Sorry.
But shout out to good looking chap, man. Shout out to him. So shout out to Manny, Huss. Solar, Jason in Germany, his hometown, homeland, and that.
Motherland.
Bushland.
Motherland is so funny.
We'll be back soon, man. So thank you for listening. Have a great time wherever you are. And shout out to you guys. Boom, over and out.
Boop, boop.
Love y'all.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.